Correct. Item number 35 from Corporation Counsel, submitting an informational monthly report providing an update on the status of pending litigation. This item was also considered by the Committee on Judiciary Safety and General Services on March 16, 2014. That committee took no action. The item is informational only and thus otherwise directed by the committee.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, if you have the memo in front of you, I think this can be relatively brief, but I'm obviously open to questions. Just real briefly, number one, as you can see, this case relates to an issue of whether or not some AFSCME members obtained the rule of 75 that didn't previously have it through a timing gap between the adoption of Act 10, the adoption of the status quo ordinance, and the decertification of the union. That case has been sitting on hold while we wait for the ultimate decision from the Wisconsin Supreme Court with respect to Act 10. And we have a status conference tomorrow on that case. I'm expecting it'll just be continued while that happens. But that case is still out there. Number two is a series of cases related to retiree health plan on co-pays and deductibles. The first case is the Hussey case, where the federal court ruled in the county's favor and found that it did have the ability to make changes to co-pays and deductibles for retirees in the health plan. They appealed to the Seventh Circuit. The Seventh Circuit affirmed that. They requested a rehearing, and since this was distributed to you, the Seventh Circuit has denied that rehearing. So that case should be done unless they try to go to the U.S. Supreme Court, which seems unlikely to me. The third case under that heading is a case brought by the Deputy Sheriff's Association that is on the same issue but a slightly different legal theory related to their collective bargaining agreement and the timing of their agreement, et cetera. The Circuit Court, Judge Sankovitz, recently ruled in favor of the county, consistently with the Hussey case. The union has just provided us notice that they intend to appeal to the Court of Appeals. Number three is a couple of cases related to the right to reimbursement for Medicare Part B premium. In that case, the Court of Appeals ruled in favor of the county's action when it ended that benefit for new retirees. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has now accepted the petition for review of the unions on that case. Number four is the pension multiplier case, where the Court of Appeals ruled against the county on the change to the multiplier for current employees. The county approved a filing of a petition for review, and we have not yet heard a response from the Wisconsin Supreme Court. We're hopeful that since they took the Medicare Part B case, they will take the pension multiplier case. I'm just going to skip to the last page then, subject to questions. Number 12 is the public records case involving the bus company MTS seeking records related to the RFP process, which the Circuit Court ruled in favor of MTS. The winning party in such a case is entitled to attorney's fees. We have discussed that with MTS's counsel, and we've reached an agreement to resolve that for $18,000 in attorney's fees, and so that will be going through the Judiciary Committee next cycle. Last, we have added a new case at the bottom of the list, Jane Doe versus Milwaukee County, involving the sexual assault, or I should say alleged sexual assault, by a correction officer of an inmate at the jail. That received some media press when it was filed, and so I added it to the list, although we have other cases that are not dissimilar to that. I don't mean other sexual assault cases, but lots of other cases that I would call similar, which we don't include on the list, but because this one got some press, I put it on the list. And then I have nothing else new if you have questions.
We had a previous discussion that you were going to maybe bring a funding request for the attorney who represented the Department of Transportation against the review panel. That didn't come. Does that mean we're expecting more fees to be generated in that case because of possible litigation on behalf of the county executive?
Mr. Chairman, what it means is I don't have an answer from the county executive. I intend to bring the amendment Once I have a decision from the county executive on that issue, right now I don't have a decision, and so I couldn't bring the amendment down.
And with regard to that, Mr. Bargan, I know there, I think there was some discussion in the Judiciary Committee, which I wasn't at. What's your opinion on whether or not the county executive, one, can sue the committee, and two, does the Judiciary Committee have to sign off on that? Does there have to be funding approved by the Finance Committee in order to fund that if they want to use tax dollars to do that?
Chairman, Supervisors, actually, I have a draft opinion on my desk right now that I've been working on with some good advice from Mr. Grady and good discussion about it. And the short answer to your last two questions are yes, Judiciary and potentially the full board would have to approve an action like that, and funding would also have to be approved through the normal funding process.
And when can we expect that draft opinion? Soon?
Yeah, next day or two.
Okay.
I want to get it out before the board meeting.
Okay, thank you.
There won't be a draft then.
Right. Any other questions, Supervisor Jerzyk?
Where are we on the Christensen case?
Mr. Chairman, we're anticipating another report from the monitor, Dr. Shansky. I'm trying to remember the timing for that. I believe either later this month or next month. We're hopeful that with that report, we may be able to move forward with something in circuit court. I guess that's all I can tell you right now is we're waiting for the next report from the monitor to see where we are.
Supervisor Lipscomb?
Yeah, if I can go back to the last topic briefly. So if that's the opinion, that the litigation requires authorization, then when we see the bill for the lawyer, are we obligated to pay for the consultation about whether or not they should sue us? If that was time spent consulting on unauthorized litigation, and what's my obligation to have to pay that bill?
Yeah.
Well. You know, you're asking a general question, I guess, about a case that will have a lot of specifics, but if there was consultation, for example, about whether litigation could be brought and permission could be sought from the county, it seems like that's a valid legal service.
Excuse me, I didn't hear that.
Seems like that's a valid legal service, to think about whether to pursue a suit and so on. So far, no request has been made, no suit's been filed, so I'm not quite sure where things stand, and certainly have no idea whether any funds have been incurred on that front.
Well, when you say valid legal service, I mean if they wanted to commence a suit, that would be a valid legal service too, right? It'd just be up to the committee if they wanted to fund that valid legal service.
Going forward, yes. I don't really know what's in the budget, what's available, what's been spent.
Mr. Chairman. The outside counsel who has been representing the Department of Transportation through the 110 process before the Administrative Determination Review Committee has incurred charges that have exceeded the prior encumbered funds, budgeted funds. There was no way to get into this committee to approve those when we were in the middle of that process. So there's clearly going to be an amendment request for funding for this contract that will cover past services already rendered. And I guess what I would say is I think that the county has an obligation to pay those. If the county declines to do that, it has very little defense to a suit to recover those fees that were incurred. I think that's a slightly different question than what Supervisor Lipscomb was asking, but I think it's a large part. I guess what I'm trying to say in a roundabout way is the committee is going to see an amendment request. The only question is what the size of it is. Some of it, the amendment request, will deal with past services. That may be all that it is, or it may be an amendment request with past services and potential future services, depending on the county executive's decision.
All right. So let me probe that a little further. So if recent consultation is seen as an extension of their appeal services before the committee. You know, that I guess I thought that what we told everyone else was that 110's over. It seems to me their authorization, their contract is done. But if you are to interpret it as that the clock's still ticking under that old contract, then their client was the county, in no way separate and apart from, I mean, it's our department. It's not, it wasn't, their client isn't the county executive. There is no authorization to do anything else. And actually, I would then ask, isn't whatever advice they provide, isn't that available to us? Isn't it ours? We're going to be asked to pay the bill. There was never any separate authorization for them to represent someone other than the department, right? That's not the executive.
Department of Transportation.
Right.
So who would be the parties to a potential appeal? Would it be the Department of Transportation or the county exec against the committee?
I think that's an open, well, in my mind it's an open question, but then again I haven't been looking at it. We did try to divide this particular case between the two of us, Mark and I. Mark had worked before I got here with the Department of Transportation. He has not been working really on the appeal process much of late. And then I staffed the committee, so I stayed out of the any discussions regarding the department's position. So,
do you have an answer to that question then?
I don't have a definitive answer to that question, Mr. Chairman. It may be one or the other or both. The Department of Transportation, I think, is the most likely party, but the county executive obviously supervises the Department of Transportation, and so it's possible he would be an additional party. We haven't worked through that. And I, frankly, until the decision is made to proceed, I don't really want to spend the time figuring that out.
And the defendant would be the committee?
That would be my assumption.
I guess then, so then one question would be, don't we just have the authority to end those services now?
I guess what I would say is I don't think any services are currently being provided or have been provided for, I don't know, maybe a week or so. I don't know. They aren't active at this point.
Right, but I mean they could be activated an hour from now when they say start drafting the complaint. So, I mean, I don't want to spend one more dime on contemplating suing ourselves. I think that's ridiculous that's even being contemplated. And I don't want to be in the position that I'm going to have to pay a bill for it.
All I can say is I can apprise outside counsel of the risks they run in performing any additional services.
That'd be good advice. Supervisor Dreiser?
All we're doing is pointing out the defects of 110 and who gets to do the review. So I suggest we stop this.
Okay. Any other discussion? Okay. If not, that's the last item on our agenda. We're adjourned.
Okay. Another easy button.